This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland.
On News Talk.
We're playing you some of our favourite pieces from the past year. We go to the Dublin Cryobiology Stem Cell Lab in James's to see how they're using next generation technology to cure cancer. Now, our healthcare service, if you read the papers, it gets a huge amount of flack. But actually, there's an extraordinary amount of amazing research and medicine going on right under our noses. This week, I went to St. James's Hospital to visit the cryobiology laboratory, where they're giving a revolutionary technology therapy to patients to literally cure some of them from cancer. Absolutely unheard of up to literally a decade ago. Dr. Larry Bacon is a consultant hematologist from St. James's who joins us now to kind of give us a bit of an overview, and then we'll play you some clips and some audio from my trip to St. James's. Welcome to the program, Larry. Before we talk about the treatment and hear from and Nicola in the lab, maybe you might tell me a little bit about how we traditionally have treated blood cancers and why that needed to change.
Yeah, okay. So thanks, Jonathan. So blood cancers are a type of cancer that we sort of, such as multiple myeloma, such as non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which we've historically used to treat with what we call standard chemotherapy drugs. So these are sort of old-fashioned drugs such as cyclophosphamide, vincristine, steroids, which have been used for years to treat all, you know, different types of cancers. And there was really no targeted therapy within them. So we know that these drugs can kill off cells. So an advantage, of course, was that it'll kill off the faster growing cells like cancer cells, but it also affected other cells in the body and led to significant toxicity. So there were good therapies. We still use some of these standard therapies, especially in frontline therapies, and they can be successfully used to treat some of our blood cancers. But when these cancers relapse, we know that they've found a mechanism able to evade standard chemotherapies, and that's where we can use and come in with our immunotherapies.
What exactly is an immunotherapy, and how does it differ to something like chemotherapy, which is essentially, as you say, a really sort of a toxic bomb on the site, which can be quite damaging to patients?
Yeah, so the big advantage of immunotherapies is exactly as you said. They're not carpet bombing, they're very specific and will specifically target a cancer cell. So in the early days, our immunotherapies were very simple antibody therapies, and we use them in combination still with standard chemotherapies. But these drugs will be targeted to fight the cancer cell. So if we go back to our very first immunotherapy, a drug called rituximab, that was a therapy designed to target cells that express a CD20 antigen, if you like, or that cancer cell or that blood cancer cell is expressing a protein that we call CD20, and the immunotherapies are able to get in and find that CD20 cell and kill it and get rid of the cancer that way. So that was the very first specificities that we had, that we found a target, that cancer cell was expressing that, and we were able to kill the cancer cell specifically. And it generally left the other cells around it relatively safe, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, from a layman's point of view, it sounds like these immunotherapies are a way of training our immune system to see the sort of cells that they should be attacking, in this case, cancer cells.
So in the older style, they were just directing against it, but in the newer immunotherapies, that's what we're doing. We're training our immune system to target the cancer cell.
And that's why I was really interested to go to the cryobiology lab, a stem cell facility at St. James's this week. And I met Dr. Nicola Gardner. She's chief medical scientist there. And she took me into the lab to see this incredible process and how it's done.
You're very welcome, Jonathan. This is the cryobiology stem cell facility at the National Blood Centre in St. James's Hospital. Our laboratory is involved in both bone marrow stem cell transplant and CAR T therapy. So for a CAR T patient, it starts back with apheresis. So the product is collected from the patient in apheresis. So apheresis is similar to hemodialysis. The patient is hooked up to the machine and the blood is drawn from one arm through the machine and returns to the patient. And
sort of like a circuit.
Exactly. And we are essentially hoovering out the cells that we want, which in this situation are the patient's T cells. We then get what looks like, from all intents and purposes, a bag of blood, and we bring it here to the laboratory. And we make sure to take a sample in a sterile fashion. So the facility that you see here, we have two clean rooms. And these are specialist clean rooms with grade A facilities, something similar to those that you would see in a pharmaceutical plant. They are actually GMP. So in the clean area, we will remove a sample from the bag and we will test it for sterility to make sure that there's the patient, the apheresis system, there's no introduction of any bugs, bacteria to the cells. We then take the cells, a sample, and we are assessing what kind of cells are in the bag. We're looking for a known volume of T cells. We need a T cell dose for the patient. So we take a sample and we incubate it in a test tube with antibodies that have a fluorescent marker on them. When the cells are then passed through a machine, such as this one here, a flow cytometer.
Which looks like a giant photocopier from here.
Yeah, it's a very expensive giant photocopier. But the flow cytometer will, it basically shoots the cells past a laser. And if the antibody is there and the fluorescent marker is on the cell, it will fluoresce. So every time the machine sees a T cell, it sends a spark and it will be counted. So we will know then from the number of cells the machine reads by the sample, how many T cells are in the bag. So we're targeting to try and collect a certain dose of T cells for the patient so that we can prepare them for CAR T therapy.
So we can see a room full of medical scientists working on various machines and computers. And this is essentially, I suppose, Nicola, a quality assurance area where you're making sure that the donor, who is the patient themselves, that they have enough of the T cells to be able to partake in the treatment, that it is of good quality, that there's no material viruses or bacteria or molds that are going to affect the quality of the blood, and then you prepare it for what happens next.
So the next thing, these cells are going to be cryopreserved. So in the clean room, we will take the patient's plasma. So that dialysis or apheresis machine will separate a plasma bag as well. We prepare the plasma by cooling it. We add DMSO, dimethyl sulfoxide, to it. And this will protect the cells when they're being frozen and thawed, because they're at risk of bursting or lysing. So this gives it a kind of a little jacket to stop ice forming in the cells while it freezes. So we prepare the plasma DMSO, we add it to the cells, and we transfer them then into special bags that are going to withstand really low temperatures. So we're bringing the cells from room temp, from cold, 4 degrees, down to minus 190 degrees, so very, very cold, and storing them in liquid nitrogen.
So, and that happens in this sort of very sci-fi looking sort of
clean
empty
room. Yeah.
It's got two grey arms coming down from the ceiling. What are they for?
They are to decontaminate the room should we require them. They are hydrogen peroxide decontamination units.
Right, okay. You don't want them to go off.
No, you don't want to be in the room when they go off.
Right, and then pretty much the only other thing in the room is the sort of hooded lab area where, I suppose, that's where you ensure that it's super clean, super sterile, and there's no contamination.
Yeah, so in fact, when we're in that room, that's exactly the area that we work in. So it's called a biological safety cabinet. So it protects the cells, but it also protects the worker working at it. We work inside that, and that area is a grade A sterile area. And we can move the cells around between bags, we can take samples, we can add things to and from it, but it's a sterile area so that we know the cells are safe while they're there. So when we're in there, we wear a full suit. So it's rather like a hazmat suit. We wear a full hood, goggles. It's a full body suit with boots, double gloves. Not very comfortable to work in, but it's the scientists will be. They're very specially trained for this clean room work.
So in that clip, Larry, we heard from Nicola, and she was saying, you know, for a lot of patients, it's last resort. Why is that? Why do we wait until four rounds of chemo before we offer CAR T to patients when they're diagnosed with a blood cancer? And why does the chemotherapy not work for them?
Okay, so there's always a group of people where the chemotherapy will work, and then a group, for unfortunately, where the disease relapses. In truth, Jonathan, it's quite a political question you're asking.
I know that. That's why I'm asking it.
And that's fine. It's okay to ask it. But that's a political question you're asking. And in truth, if these CAR T cell therapies were available in second and third line, that's exactly where we would use them. For right now, within our resources, we only have availability of these agents for third line therapy.
So what you're saying is they're very expensive, and because they're brand new, they're very expensive to do, and so we need to try, I suppose, more economical reasons, because that's what we're doing with the health budget.
Exactly.
It's impossible to give everyone the highest possible level of care straight away.
And these drugs can cost up to hundreds of thousands per patient. But again, that's a relatively small amount of money for a once-off therapy with a curative intent.
Yeah, absolutely. And, there's lots of talks happening around the country trying to figure out how to get this sort of technology to patients quicker and sooner and before that fourth line. But I suppose we live in an economic reality as well. So this process is really interesting to see where it's happening. Was fascinating. Once the blood is ready for freezing, it goes to the cryobiology storeroom. Here's Nicola talking me through what happens there.
Okay, Jonathan, this is our cryobiology storeroom facility. So we have liquid nitrogen storage for cells when they're cryopreserved. And we prepare the cells inside in the clean room, and then they get passed out and they're cryopreserved using a control rate freezer. So the control rate freezer will bring the cells from room temperature to 4 degrees down to -180 across an hour and a half.
Wow.
Cells are then transferred into super cold storage in vapor phase liquid nitrogen.
Oh, wow. So Nicola's just taken the lid off a giant vat. It looks like an enormous milk churn, about the size of like a squatted a giant double American fridge. And you lifted that off and the liquid nitrogen, the vapor kind of comes off the top of it. It's 192.
This is basically a stainless steel vessel, and it contains liquid nitrogen at the base. So what you saw was cold vapor. The area above the liquid nitrogen is super cold. So you can see the temperatures here, the storage with two temperature probes, and it's cold at -190 degrees. So the cells are stored in that cold phase above the liquid nitrogen.
And they have been prepared in the lab previous to be ready for this, protecting the cells for freezing.
Yeah.
Why do we need to store them at all at this temperature? Why don't we just put them straight into the patient?
Well, we're storing them so that we can ship them because the cells are going to Europe to be manufactured for genetic modification. They will go to either the Netherlands or they'll go to Switzerland for modification. So while they're in transit, they need to be protected. So we would only have a 24-hour shelf life on our products fresh. So they need to either be there in 24 hours or we cryopreserve them so that they go frozen. They're safe when they're frozen.
They don't go.
They come back to us frozen as well.
Do they travel in these giant tins?
No, they travel in one of these guys. So these are small shippers. So again, this is like a miniature version of what you're seeing there. We've heard these described as Daleks. It depends on
a mini Dalek.
This goes, it can go internationally. So during COVID, we ship cells to Australia, New Zealand during COVID shutdown.
Wow. So it looks like it does look like a Dalek or a bin. And it has temperature probes coming out of it, and it's on wheels. So this is the transportable version of it.
When the cells are in this, again, it's I can open it. It's got the cold vapor in it. It's still at -190 degrees. The cells are safe in that. And we bring them to the bedside, and the cells are actually thawed at the bedside. So this goes to the patient's bedside, and the cells are thawed and literally infused immediately to the patient.
So these cells that the patient has donated, you've checked the quality of them. They go off to Europe. What are they doing with them in Europe?
So what they do is they will take the T cells and they will incubate them with a special, what's called a CAR antigen. So it is a chimeric antigen receptor on the T cell. So it's basically training the T cell to see the disease. So the CAR or the antigen is specific to the disease type, and the cells will then express the antigen on their surface, and it's like putting blinkers on a horse. That T cell will now only see disease. So what they do then is they multiply those cells, they grow them in a flask, for want of a better term. They grow over the next 6 or 7 days. Then they will freeze them down in the same fashion that we do, and then they do all the QC testing before it's released. So it takes about 28 days for the cells which leave here today to come back for the patient. And when they come back again in one of these shippers, slightly larger industrial kind of one. When they arrive, they're a medicinal product, but we, again, it's a bag of cells. It's exactly what we're used to handling. It's a small bag of cells. It can be as little as 20 mils of cells in a bag. The cells are kept here, so you can see behind you there a smaller version of the vessels, which is specific only for CAR-T products. Because they're genetically modified cells, they're kept separate. And we will then give the clinical team the thumbs up, the cells have arrived. One of the hugely important factors we have is ensuring that the patient cells are traceable the whole way along. So if we have a patient, John Doe, at the beginning with his date of birth and his MRN, and all the numbers applying to it are on the cells when they're collected during apheresis, when they're frozen here in the lab, when they're shipped, and when they come back, we have to make sure that there's been the paperwork and all the numbering is exact, because these are the patient's own cells. So we have to be absolutely 100% sure we're giving the patient back their own cells that have been genetically modified.
There's so much effort, isn't there, going into this one person's treatment. When you look at the facilities here, the time and effort, the shipping and so on. But for patients who respond to CAR-T, this is an absolute game changer, isn't it, this technology?
Absolutely. It is a huge amount of work and expense and time goes into each individual patient, but that would be the case with a transplant patient or with a CAR-T patient. But those 20 mils of cells or 60 mils of cells can revolutionise a patient's life. We have one patient who's our longest survivor, who's 4 years post-transplant, and he's completely cured of his cancer. He has no disease. He is a healthy, happy person who comes to lots of different events for us. And he's very happy to tell me the only thing he takes every morning is his vitamins. And he's an inspiration to us as to why we would do this.
So it's really amazing that these cells get sent off to Europe to get reprogrammed to work in a way that's going to attack that cancer. And what's amazing is then it just travels back to the patient's bedside. What is the significance of the fact that, you know, this infusion is happening right at the side of the patient's bed?
The cells are sent away for processing. They come back, and then patients are sitting in their bed. We take these cells in a frozen container over to their bedsides, and with the use of central lines, we just reinfuse the cells in a process of about 20 or 30 minutes, and these new cells then get into the body and then start to target the cancer almost immediately. But not only are they targeting the cancer, they're also growing and multiplying. So they're like a living drug, and they stay within the body for up to, as far as we can tell, for up to at least a year after we reinfuse the cells, and they stay there circulating and fighting the cancer during during that time, which is phenomenal when you think you give a drug or a chemotherapy, the body is able to eliminate that drug after a certain period of time. So the huge advantage of these immunotherapies are these CAR T-cell therapies is the fact that they're a truly a living drug that continue to circulate in the body and continue to treat the lymphomas. I mean, it's interesting, we have some patients where we've reinfused these cells, and when we look at their tumour a month later, there's still some tumour left, and we don't do anything different. And then we look again at 3 months, the tumour's reducing in size. We look again at 6 months, and it may be obliterated and completely gone.
That's so extraordinary.
It's an extraordinary and a really novel therapy.
Well, it's really, really exciting to hear about the advancements. It was wonderful to visit the lab and hear from Nicola, Dr. Larry Bacon, consultant hematologist from St. James's. Thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.